Off the Ball, GAA.
I think the manner in which Jack and his backroom team managed life post-Mead was just marvellous.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
I think they'll go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah. I believe in my county, and I suppose they're good at football. They just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12. I love playing 10. I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
Thank you for all the supporters. Thank you for the team. Thank you, France. Merci la France. Merci les baguettes. Merci les croissants. Je vous aime. I love you.
Hello and happy Thursday. Welcome to Word on the Street, where every week we take a trending sporting topic, something that is dominating the headlines, and we bring it to the public. We're looking a little bit differently today. I'm here in the host seat while we have Susanna on Zoom, but Rachel is still in the studio. So with the Dublin City Marathon due on the 26th of October, this coming Sunday, we thought what better topic to do than Ireland's newest obsession. So here is episode 23, the first rule of Run Club. So to immediately break the first rule of Run Club, Rachel, first of all, how are you? And second of all, are you part of a Run Club?
Great job there, Eve.
Thank you.
We were practicing that a few times, Susanna. We didn't realise how tricky it was. In fairness, you take it like a champ every week.
Yeah, you get into the flow of it. It sounded perfect to me, though. Very natural.
Thank you very much. Very casual.
I'm great, Eve. Thanks so much. I'm loving this setup. Because usually I'm in the middle, so I have to do a little bit of a piggy in the middle situation. So excuse me if I get very laid back this episode.
Yeah, whereas this chair is really comfortable, Susanna, I might be stealing it.
Yeah, all good. Thank you very much. Was out at the Aviva this morning for press conference for the women's football team ahead of their game against Belgium tomorrow. So
exciting times.
Get out and get those tickets, girls, because they've got like 15,000 sold, but they're looking for some more. So very good. How are you, Susanna?
I'm good. You look very far away. It's kind of funny looking at you through a little screen, just a big gap in the middle. But no, I'm good. I am over in the Netherlands, the motherland, kind of. I was born here, so I suppose you can call it the motherland.
Yeah, exactly.
Only lived here for 6 months, so. But no, I'm enjoying it. It's cold here, though, I must say. You guys were saying the studio is cold. I think Holland is colder. It's definitely getting into winter.
We noticed that in Dublin as well today. We just went out to grab a coffee and it's like someone switched a switch on or turned like flicked their fingers and it is just cold now.
It's happened.
Yeah, it's happened. So we were kind of thinking this week, when we're looking at kind of Ireland's obsession with running, we were thinking, do we do run clubs? Do we do the marathon? And we sort of decided to do both. So I think I'll ask all three of us. I know that I am not part of a run club, but that I've been known to dabble in running. I've done a couple 10Ks. Are you part of a run club? Oh, I know. Sorry, not to brag. The first sort of run club is you absolutely
casual
talk about
flex
run club.
There.
Yeah, I'm going to mention that at least 15 times over the course of this podcast.
It's like being a tag rugby.
So have you kind of done anything running wise?
No, I don't run. I only run so I can play sport. Like I just, it doesn't do it for me. I wish it did. But it's just like purely a piece of training I can do so I can like play hurling or football or whatever. I'd love to maybe try and get into it. And after all the research this week, maybe it'll be the motivation I needed, but not a current member of a run club. It is fascinating to see like the uptake in running in the country, though, since COVID.
Susanna, are you, because you were doing a lot of the spearheading for the research on the run club side of this podcast. Are you part of one, or what have you found kind of with this big increase in people joining run clubs?
Yeah, I don't know. I dabble. I'm not a great runner now, which I'm an extremely competitive person. So not being good at something naturally really grinds my gears. And I find it difficult when you're running solo to not be really competitive with yourself. So I don't find it a very relaxing pastime because I'm constantly thinking about how fast I'm going, and then I run too fast because I'm competing with whatever I ran the previous time, and then I'm just gassed by the end of it and I tend not to feel very good. I know people talk about the endorphins and like a runner's high and feeling great after a run, and I'm sure that does eventually kick in for me, but usually I feel pretty crap because I've just burned myself at both ends at the end of a run. So I have been to a couple of run clubs, and I know we're going to touch on this later, but I always find that I'm not as quick as I want to be compared to the people who are running them there. And that always puts me down. Again, it's the competitive spirit coming out. So I went a couple of times and I never went back. And they were fantastic. Like, in terms of the social side, I really enjoyed the pastry and the coffee afterwards. But I found it really difficult not being as good as the people around me and maybe being left behind a little bit. So yeah, I don't know. I have a bit of a love-hate relationship with running. I do have my runners with me over here in Holland. Might try to go out for a little 3K, but I'm not putting any pressure on myself. We've got to take that element away from it.
Because we were talking earlier, me and Rachel, about sort of the social element of run clubs, and maybe that's why they've gotten so popular. And I remember that when I was training for my 10K, not to bring it up again, I really enjoyed the solitary element of the training. Like, I would put my headphones in and I would listen to maybe an album the whole way through, maybe something I haven't listened to before. So it's like, say, a 40-minute, and I'd go, and that would be my kind of training. I like the fact that it was a more solitary thing.
Why did you take up running? Were you always a runner?
No, I had a bit of a quarter life crisis. Weird. I was like 22 years.
Have you even reached quarter life?
No, no, I haven't. I was like 20. I just turned 21 or something, and I said I should do something. I should do something. I'm 21. I'm old now. I say that's not very
God
old
help
at all.
Us all.
And I said, okay, I'm going to sign up for the women's mini marathon. This was maybe Christmas time in 22. And so then June 23, I had signed up for the women's mini marathon in Dublin. And it's such a fantastic day out. If you've never done it, the atmosphere is fantastic. I got really lucky the both times I've done it. The weather was brilliant. And it's just such a great atmosphere. The first year I did it, I had a pretty respectable time. I was kind of running 1K and then kind of jogging the next one to try and pace myself. And then I met my friend who I didn't know was doing it at kilometer 7. And she goes, sure, we'll run the last three together. And I said, I don't want to do that. And I somehow did it, and I kind of fell across the line exhausted. But yeah, it was really great fun. And it's something that you can definitely do as a beginner. So we were asking people for kind of their opinions and their voice notes on running, and we got one from Bree, who's taken up running this month for a very special reason, but as a complete beginner.
I started running for a number of reasons. So in summer, I gave up smoking and I needed something to sort of keep me busy. I had never been sporty for my adult life, really, except for a few phases in and out of the gym. But I never really found something I really liked. And one day on my social media, something came up, and it was run 100 kilometers in October for Women's Aid. And that is a charity I've always felt really close to. And, you know, I've known them to support a lot of people in my life. And I just took it from there. I'm doing a bit every single day, and it has helped me immensely in terms of my physical health is so much better, as is my mental health, in that I no longer think about how my body looks so much as what it can do. Also, it has been so gratifying seeing the change in my fitness. And as a beginner, you can really, if you keep at it as often as you can see huge changes. And I am 69 kilometers into 100 kilometers in October. And it has really changed my relationship to fitness and sport and myself. It's also allowed me to reconnect with my housemate. We undertook the challenge together, and it's been great to kind of get to know someone through running in the evening. And I would recommend it to anyone. It is so accessible in that all you need is a pair of shoes, and you can go out running.
So, I mean, first of all, best of luck to Bree in the kind of the final week or so of October. And also, I love the point she makes about how accessible it is, because it really is a kind of a way of keeping fit, of getting active and being social that anyone can do. And I think that's what the running clubs in this country are really tapping into.
Yeah, and it's probably why it was such a big thing from COVID, because obviously people that were used to going to the gyms didn't have that option anymore and people didn't have equipment at home. So the option was to go out running and go outside. And I thought it was just in my head that, you know, you're going around seeing that everyone is running at the moment. But Park Run, which is an event, you know, that's run all over the country at the weekends, they said 9% of the Irish population is now registered to run a park run.
That's crazy.
That's an insane figure. They've 500,000 registered users. And so it's not just you if you think everyone is running. They are.
And I know that we had a comment in from friend of the show, Megan Scully, who then sent on a voice note as well, sort of about her view on this. You were chatting to her a bit, Susanna, were you?
Yeah, I just sent her a message after she left that comment. She has joined a run club for the first time because she's moved back to Dublin for, I think, the third attempt at living in the Big Smoke. And she's trying to use this as maybe a way to connect with people, make some friends, which is really what they say run clubs are all about at the end of the day. Obviously getting fit, but then trying to find a way to meet people without going to the pub, which I think is what's been the big turn in kind of our age group and a little bit older, a little bit younger since COVID, is that we're trying to find ways to get outside and get active and do things with our time that isn't, you know, doom scrolling on our phones and isn't drinking, which I know we've talked about on this pod before. Even you're kind of like, oh no, let's go back to the pub. Let's bring back that era. Definitely is something that's in the consciousness of young people in Ireland at the moment, and leading a more active lifestyle, I think, is 100% behind kind of the surge of run clubs. I think everyone knows that, but it's definitely something that's come to the fore in kind of the research we've been doing over the past couple of days.
Yeah, one thing I will say before we listen to Megan's audio is that every single time I finished those two 10Ks that I did, I think I had 3 pints in the space of about an hour and a half afterwards.
And you're dead right. That's what it's for.
Straight to the pub, and then went to have dinner and then a different pub. So that was my little segue, my little thing.
It's all about balance. It's all about balance.
Exactly. You know, a balanced diet also needs a bit of joy. So we can listen to Megan's audio now.
Yeah, so I recently moved to Dublin for work reasons, and I would believe this is my third attempt at living in Dublin in the last like 12 or 13 years. And the last two times it didn't really go to plan. So this time around I said, right, let's try to do things differently. And I guess fitness has always been a huge part of my life. Like growing up, I would have been competing with horses. I played camogie, Gaelic football, hockey, athletics. But then something I really wanted to take part in was a social running club for two reasons: to get fit and to also meet new people, because I found that I'm in my mid-30s now and all my friends that I would have went to college with and kind of grown up with have all moved away from Dublin. So last week, would you believe, was my first time to join a running club, and I did the 5K and it was brilliant, and there was quite a few people like me who were there for the very first time, and I actually just kind of chatted most of the way around, which I know I probably should have been concentrating on my breathing, but I just said, you know what, I'm going to chat away to people. And before I knew it, I couldn't believe it, we were finished and the 5K was up. And but really, really enjoyed it and would highly recommend it to anyone. It doesn't matter what your fitness levels are or what your age or anything, and because even the group that I went with, they offered a 3K and a 10K, so my plan is to do a few more 5Ks and then build myself up to a 10K, and then hopefully maybe start going for a few more like runs. And yeah, it's been a great experience, and as I said, it's a great way to meet people. And the particular club that I went with, they sometimes go for drinks afterwards, or I suppose you can have whatever you want, but I think it's a great opportunity again to actually chat to people. So that will be my plan.
There, what Megan was saying about meeting new people still in Dublin. So I would have seen the run club surge in Sydney when I lived there. And if you think it's big in Dublin, it's insane. Like you go down to Bondi Beach at like 5 o'clock in the morning, and it's like whatever. They're 5 to 9 before they're 9 to 5, I think is the big thing over there.
But I find that mad. I don't know how they do that. They flip their day around.
They do, but everyone's in bed by 8 o'clock, like. You know,
I can't imagine running at 5 a.m. I can barely get up at 8 a.m. Like, I know it's just a culture, but I really don't know how they do it.
Yeah, sorry. I know. You'd be bed into it before you know it. And like, no one meets up in the evening, you know, it's all in the morning. But you can see why people do that when they move countries, because it's easier to make friends. And it's people are always looking to meet new people. But I think one of the things about the popularity of run clubs in Dublin is that, like Megan said, people's friends are emigrating. So they're in their home city, but they're without their friends, which is probably a little bit unusual. And it can be really daunting trying to make new friends in the place where you're from. like when you move abroad, you can have this persona of, oh, I'm going to get out there and meet new people and not be as embarrassed about it. But yeah, trying to do that in your own country, it's difficult. So you've got a lot of people whose friends have gone and now they're using run clubs to make new friends who are staying around in Dublin. And that was a lot that came up as well, as emigration was one of the biggest reasons that people are joining these run clubs, because of the health and wellness movement. They're not traditionally meeting people in the pubs like they used to, but they're meeting people at run clubs instead.
Yeah, especially I think with how expensive Dublin has gotten, you know, it's all well and good going out to a pub, but if you're going to do that enough to form lasting friendships, that's going to be pretty pricey. Or any sort of events around the city, classes, it's going to cost you, unfortunately, nowadays. Whereas, kind of as Bree had said earlier, all you need to do running is a pair of runners. So,
although I would say once you go down the route of running, you quickly get drawn into spending like 200 quid on a pair of runners. I 100% agree that it's accessible when you first start out because you can run in anything. But even myself, who I run like twice a month, I should do more. I have a pair of those OnCloud runners because once you go down that road, you're like, oh, they'll make me run faster. So you're like, I'm going to invest. But it's still much cheaper than, say, you know, a gym membership every week or joining a sports team where you have to pay your subs. Like, it is accessible from that point of view, but I just wanted to give my 2 cents on how expensive runners are these days.
Yeah, but that's another thing, like the commercialization of run clubs. You've got them, they're popular, but the reason they're even growing more now is because you've got the likes of the Hockas and Lululemons are sponsoring run club events in Dublin and Oakberry Asai. So run clubs aren't going anywhere because these brands are spotting a marketing opportunity that it's pretty much free because the events are already happening and they're getting behind it.
Yeah. And can I say when I was first training for the two 10Ks that I did.
Okay, you've got one more time to mention these 2Ks and I'm cutting you off, Eve. Okay.
I started that's out training. Three. That's three. I want to reach a solid like 8. I started training in a gym initially because there was one in the building that I lived in that I didn't have to pay for. So I used it as much as I kind of wanted to. And I found myself not being as relaxed while I was running on a treadmill. And I got very bored very quickly because you're just looking at the same thing. So then I transitioned to when I had to move out of this place and I looked at the price of gym memberships and I went, okay, well, I'm not doing that. Started running in local parks and I found it way better, way easier to run. I found it more engaging and I just would highly recommend running in parks as opposed, obviously, if you're going to be in a gym anyway, that's fine. But up the parks.
Yeah. And another thing, this was a lot of women would speak out about being a bit uneasy running alone in parks in the evening. So that's where we see emergence of communities coming up in these run clubs.
Yes.
We've got all female run clubs and Susanna, you're going to touch on them in a second, but there was a couple of other run clubs I came across doing some research and there's a Brazilian run club in Dublin. It looks like it's spelled Core, but I assume that's pronounced differently. I'm not going to butcher it here. It's like Europe's first Brazilian run club and they've got a massive community.
Yeah.
And their people are running the marathon for them on Sunday. And you've also got Dublin Front Runners, which is a club for members of the LGBTQA plus community and their allies. So they find that's a safe space for them to go running. And a special shout out to the Sanctuary Runners as well.
Yes.
It was started in Cork in 2018. And it's kind of with the aim of bringing like asylum seekers, refugees and migrants together. For a lot of people who are based in direct provision, they ran together for the first year and it's just grown. It's like everywhere now in Ireland and it's also gone international as well. And they've got a huge crew up running the marathon for Sanctuary Runners this Sunday and they've got their own cheer zone as well. So it's communities within communities, which is what these are creating. Susanna, I think you've got a special link in with one of these run clubs, don't you?
Yes. Well, I don't know which one you're referring to now.
Oh, she's got a lot of links. I had the pages I was going on to Instagram. It was like, followed by Susanna. I was like, oh yeah, okay.
Yes, I dabble. As I said, I've dabbled in the run clubs, but that's kind of what leads me on to, I suppose, this point. And you'll have to bear with me as I ramble through this a little bit. But as I said, like, I picked up running like a lot of people kind of in the COVID era when there was nothing else to do. And also, like, we've talked about the commercialization of run clubs. Like, TikTok and Instagram have been massive for this. I mean, you see people running all the time. It's like, come run a 5K with me, and they say their pace at 1K, and they say their pace at 2K, and they update you all the way along. And it's great because it's kind of an image that you want to follow. But the problem with this is that these paces are often, I don't want to say unrealistic, because people can do it and there's some incredible athletes out there, but they're not achievable for everyone, and they're being painted as this is what you should be running. And that can be really disheartening, because if you're like me, or like anyone who's relatively athletic, but running just might not be your thing, you go out for a 30-minute run and you think, why haven't I done 5K? Like, why am I so slow? And you join a run club where they don't specify their pace, but usually they're running around 6 minutes per kilometer. And you I found it really tough to keep up. And then you're kind of at the back and you're moping and you're thinking, well, I don't want to do that again. That was hella embarrassing. And that was my experience anyway. And it's definitely been the experience of a couple other people. I was just reading an article on Women's Health magazine online. And they were saying, so if you look at Strava, which is an app where people upload their runs, they were saying the average time for a 12 to 27 year old for a 5K is 30 minutes. So that's 6 minutes per kilometer. And you're thinking, oh, well, like, why can't I do that? But when you think of the people who are uploading on Strava, they're going to be the people who run quite quickly. Like, if I run, I don't put it on Strava. I don't know about you, Eve.
No.
Yeah, like, I don't want people to see
that.
That's
between me and God.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And my brother's like, why don't you use Strava? It's the social media of running. And I'm like, because it scares me. Like, I don't want anybody to see how slow I'm running, and vice versa, I don't want to be peer pressured into thinking that person's running really fast. But this magazine then looked at data from Run Repeat in 2024, and this was 5 million results collected in the last 20 years from more than 28,000 races. So they have a lot of data, and basically that showed them that an average female runner runs at a pace slower than 7.5 minutes. So actually, if you're not running at that 6 minute per kilometer pace that everybody seems to on TikTok, you're really not that slow. And that was the basis behind a run club that you actually, I'd heard of it, but I didn't know the name, Rachel. And then you kind of brought it into my consciousness, which is Runners High, which was set up in London by Selena Stevenson and then moved over. It's now got a run club in Dublin as well. And they run, I think, Rachel, is that a 7 minute per kilometer pace?
Yeah, I think that's their fastest pace, is 7 minute kilometers. I don't even know what kilometers per pace are because I don't run. So that's actually kind of already going over my head. Sorry.
It's basically how many minutes you can run 1 kilometer. Yeah. But yeah, so they have set up this women's only run club where it's all about slowing down the pace and having set groups with set times so that you walk in there knowing exactly what's expected of you, and that you're not going to be, you know, left behind and feel really shitty. And it's a community that's growing massively. I think they have over 10K followers on their London page and about 8K on Dublin. But we caught up with Selena Stevenson, who is the founder, and she was actually in the airport traveling back for the Dublin Marathon this weekend. So she asked me to kind of say sorry that there's a lot of background noise of screaming children and airplane announcements. But she talks about kind of why she set up Runners High and why that 7 minute pace is so important.
So our run clubs are really about celebrating the average female runner. So the girls who make up most of the running community, but don't like kind of ever see themselves represented. Like, most of us run around that 7 minute per kilometer or slower pace. And around that pace is actually the average for women in their 20s. But online is made to seem really slow because we just don't see it represented. Like, the best you'll usually see from other run clubs is that, you know, all paces are welcome, which as a concept is great. But in reality, it's just not true. Like, technically everyone might be welcome, but when you actually arrive, you end up getting lost or hanging off the back, running alone. Or I think the worst one is feeling like you genuinely don't belong there. So one thing I really wish more clubs would do is just be upfront about what pace they actually run at and have proper pace groups with people leading them. It makes such a difference when you know what to expect before you show up. And to be fair, like, obviously not every run club has to be pace inclusive. That's not what I'm saying at all. I fully believe fast runners deserve their spaces too, because at the end of the day, we're not inclusive of everyone either. We're not the right fit for super speedy people, and that's totally fine. I'm really actually just talking about the clubs that say they're inclusive, but then in practice kind of aren't.
I think that's a really good point that she says, you know, I'm not saying this is the best and only solution, but for people who are maybe beginners or a little bit scared of running, or like me, get left behind in the fast ones, this is such a great alternative. Because we had a comment on Instagram, I think it was Jim, And he said, game changer for me joining, I don't know how to pronounce this, I'm so sorry, Jim, Denora Harriers, which is an athletics club, not a run club. And he said, it just pushes you beyond your limits, out of your comfort zone, running with people faster than you, great structure to training too. And he's managed to run faster than he ever did before. So there's an element of like some people want to join a run club in order to get better and get faster and to take their running to new heights, which if that's the case, then having a fast run club is great. But some people want to join a run club for all the reasons we've listed. You know, they want to make friends or they just want to get out and move. And then being somewhere where it's really quick can be really disheartening, I think, like she said. So I just love that there's an option, or there's growing options for every type of runner, I suppose.
Yeah, I absolutely love the thinking behind that whole setup, because I never used to look at my timings per kilometre at all. Like, I know if I was to go back, and I'm hoping to do the mini marathon again in June.
Yeah, you'll never hear the end of it.
No, you won't. But I haven't done it for a couple of years now, and I'm hoping to do it. Like, so I'm very much out of the swing of it. I'm out of training. So if I was to compare where I was a couple of years ago with my timings now, it would be really drastically worse. But that's not a very healthy mindset to go into training. And I never did that in the first place. It was always, okay, how do I feel after this kilometre? How do I feel after if I can do two in a row? You know, as opposed to breaking it up with walking or jogging. It was all about trying to get it to make sure that I actually felt good physically and mentally in my running. And I feel like this obsession with timings, as Celine said, it has a place in certain run clubs. But it's not maybe the most welcoming environment if you're a beginner or if you just want a more casual experience. So, I'm really impressed by that whole setup. I think it's a really fantastic way to approach running.
Yeah, yeah. There's also run clubs out there for those looking for love, which I stumbled across earlier.
On purpose?
No,
all run clubs, maybe not the female only ones, but like definitely the mixed ones you go to. I feel like every man, this is actually such a hot take, and I'm so sorry for the men who just want to make friends at the run clubs, but it does often feel like the men there are very much looking for their relationship.
They've become the new Tinder, you know. Yeah. Normal run clubs have, but there's a special run club in Dublin. It's run by your friend. It's run by a Dublin club who run singles events anyway, and they have like 50 to 80 people meeting every week. And if you're like, if you want to go with a friend, but say your friend might be in a relationship, just like they're coming along as a wingman, they wear black and you wear colour. So it's kind of like light parties that you used to have at underage discos. But
that
it's
so clever.
Yeah, it's a great idea. It's, again, it's just like taking everything that probably used to happen in an alcohol-based scene, like at the pub, and bringing it to something maybe a bit healthier.
That gives a whole new meaning to speed dating.
Oh,
that was very clever.
Thank you.
I think that's really exposing, though. Like, at least you'd know they properly like you, because when I run, I go as red as HMAC. Like, you actually couldn't find someone who goes more red. And it doesn't matter if I'm out of breath or not, I will be bright-faced red. So if they like me after a 5K run...
Yeah, it's authentic, like straight away, isn't it? You know, it's taking a lot of the kind of nerves out of like a first date and a lot of the pretense that you'd get. And it's kind of getting straight to, you know...
Straight to the point.
Straight to the worst of me.
Because we talked to Celine about that as well. Maybe not specifically the dating element, but kind of the community element of it and kind of what that brings and what she's seen in her time with this club.
I myself have been running for about 2.5 years now, so I've done 3 marathons and like loads of half marathons, and that's, honestly, I haven't really sped up much. My half marathon PB is around a 7:20 per kilometer pace, and I'm really proud of that. Like, it's realistic for me. I have a heart that beats out my chest every time I run. I got it tested recently, and the guy who tested me was like, "What is up with your heart? There's something wrong with it." But it just goes to show that fitness looks different for everyone, because in that same test he told me that I have excellent around fitness. So fitness does not come in one shape or size, and I think that's what we celebrate at Runners High. And there was clearly such a need for this girls only running space that actually felt really welcoming and safe. And obviously I'm not saying we are the only run club that are welcoming and safe, but and the funny thing is, if you look at our Instagram, we actually barely even talk about pace. Like, that's not what's made it successful. It's really the community. You come to one run and you can just feel it, like the love I have for it, the ambassadors have for it, the girls who come, and even my mom, to be honest. And I know it sounds a bit cheesy, but it's honestly become, as I already said, like such a safe space. It's not about being slow, it's about feeling comfortable, supported and seen. Like, if you never want to speed up, or if you do definitely want to speed up but you're just coming to Runners High because it's where you're at in your journey, whoever is coming is welcome. And I think that's why people keep coming back, because they actually feel like they belong. And finally, we've got an official cheer zone at the Dublin Marathon this Sunday. I hope to God you won't miss us. We have, I think, 8 or 9 barriers at around the 6k mark in Phoenix Park. I'm literally in the airport right now flying back for it, which is probably why you can hear babies crying in the background, but I'm so excited. It's going to be such a special day.
Selena is actually a content creator herself, as well as the founder of these two run clubs. She has 133,000 followers on Instagram and 60,000 on TikTok. And I don't know about you guys, but just listening to her there, I can so see why she's been so successful. I mean, she's such an incredible kind of advocate for this. Even the way she was talking about, you know, fitness comes in all different shapes and sizes. I think that's so important, because even me sitting here listening to her, I'm like, oh, every time I go for a run, I get a stitch, and I'm like, I hate it, and I feel like I can't keep going, and I feel like I'm just not made for running. But even her saying there, like, you know, she's done 2 marathons, did she say? Her heart beats out of her chest every time she runs, and she runs at that pace that people might think is slow, but actually just isn't slow at all. And I don't know, I just found it really encouraging from a personal point of view that, like, okay, maybe there isn't something wrong with me, and that maybe I can run. I'm just on the wrong side of the FYP, and I'm surrounded by people who are running really fast, and maybe that's not what I need to strive for. What I need to strive for is more, I think, what you were talking about, Eve, in that, you know, I need to find a place where running makes me feel good mentally and physically. And maybe something like a Runners High Women's Only Run Club is the place you find that. And I don't think that's because of the women's only element at all. I just think that's, as she said, you take the pressure away, you take the pace away, and you just run to run rather than overthinking it all the time.
So are we going to be seeing you registering for the 2026 Dublin Marathon?
God, marathon? I don't know. I have done a 10K as well, actually, just to, you know, get my plug in there. Mm-hmm. I did do the VHI mini marathon 1 year and I loved it, but I think, again, it's that element of, like, you're surrounded by people. Yeah. So you're not thinking about the fact that you have to run fast or anything like that. You're just enjoying the day. I do really want to do a half marathon. I think every single one of my friends, no, that's such a lie, but so many of my friends did the Dublin half marathon this year. And I was reading about it. It sold out in like 2 hours. I think it was record breaking, and it was like a brand new marathon. They ran up around Clontarf and around kind of past DCU and stuff. So I went to support a lot of them, and it was so much fun. It just looked like the best atmosphere. So I definitely want to do a half, but I need to do a few more runs before I get there, I reckon.
Yeah, I keep seeing videos on my Instagram reels or my TikTok where it's like, once you hit your early 20s, everyone is either emigrating, getting engaged, or doing a half marathon, which is very true. I think I found out.
Yeah, yeah, it's, well, saying that, Susanna, like, the feeling of watching a marathon, I can't imagine what it's like participating in one, but it's become a hobby of mine, just going to marathons, like, because it's so yeah, beautiful, it's so emotional. I went to the Belfast one a couple of years ago and, like, bawling, didn't know who any of the people were, but, you know, because they've got their names on their numbers as well, like, just like, yeah, go on, Sheila, like, keep going. It's so encouraging, yeah, it's so beautiful. And someone who's especially encouraging talking about the Dublin Marathon is Mary Nolan Hickey. So Mary was on the PM show, or Settle In.
She was on Settle In. She was a guest on Settle In with John Duggan a few weeks ago.
Yeah. And so Mary's 73 and she competed in every Dublin Marathon from 1980 to 2024. And so there was only 40 women participants in the first year she did the Dublin Marathon.
Yeah, 1980 out of 2,100 participants, she was one of only 40. women.
And so this year she was like, initially she wanted to make it her 50th marathon, but she said her body was saying no. Yeah, I mean, which is fair enough.
Yeah, she initially wanted to get to 50, but like, I mean, doing so many over the years is such an achievement. She's a remarkable woman. And I'd highly recommend anyone to look up that Cecil Lynn episode. It should be available on Off the Walls YouTube and our podcasts, because she's has a wonderful story. But to kind of just give, I suppose, a slight insight into what she felt the attitudes were in those early days of the Dublin City Marathon.
I remember the second one, I was staying in the Montclair Hotel, and my husband Tony, who had done 38 marathons in a row as well, was there, and there was a gang of guys at the breakfast table, and I was the only female at the breakfast table. Now, I was 27 or 8, but I probably looked a lot younger, and the lads were all talking about, well, what time are you hoping to do? What time are you hoping to do? And we're all talking 3-4-5. And one fellow turned to me and he says, and are you here to support your husband? And I said, no, actually, I'm here to run. But I didn't realise it was so odd back then. And he says, oh, really? And what time are you hoping to do? Well, I said, well, I did sub 3 hours last year. Well, that brought the table to silence.
I love that. I love that so much. And listen, yeah, as I said, if you listen out to the whole interview, we have so many more of those type of anecdotes where it was just so alien for a woman to be running at all, kind of out in her community, no less competing in the Dublin City Marathon, which I must mention as well. It was, as you said, Rachel, the first year was 1980, and it was really spearheaded, the foundation of this marathon, by Noel Carroll, who was an Irish middle distance runner. And he was very influential in getting it all set up and bringing it to Dublin and making it this long running thing. And today is actually the anniversary of his death. He passed away 36 years ago today. So you remember Noel Carroll ahead of the marathon this weekend. And what's incredibly exciting for Mary Nolan Hickey is that even though she won't be running it this year, there is going to be a cup named after her.
Gorgeous.
So for the women's elite race, the winner will get a cup that's in honour of Mary Hickey, Mary Nolan Hickey, which, what's her name? Sorry, Mary. Mary Nolan Hickey. Yeah, I'm delighted for her. I think that's such a lovely way to honour like an icon of this event.
Yeah, it's really, really cool.
We found this as well when we were looking into this whole topic, is that so many marathon runners and the kind of everything around marathons really is all about honouring people. I think we were talking about the run clubs, it's all kind of social and it can be fun and it can be, and so can marathons, but they're really difficult and really hard and require a lot of training. And what I've found in researching this topic is that a lot of people, because of all this time and effort, are dedicating it, whether it's raising money for charity, dedicating it to friends or family or mentors. It's a really huge element of the Dublin City Marathon every year. And you get stories every year of kind of why people choose to go through months and months of torturous training to run this bank holiday weekend. And we had a really lovely voice note in from Rebecca Lowe, who is going to be running the marathon this weekend in honour of her friend who passed away. So here is Rebecca.
My name is Rebecca Lowe and I'm in the final days of preparation for the Dublin Marathon. I've decided to run this marathon in memory of my friend Ellen, who was such a bright and positive person, and doing this feels like a really special way of honouring her. Every time the long runs got tough, I thought of her and this is what kept me going. Training has been a real mix of the highs and lows. The early mornings, the long runs in the rain and plenty of sore legs, but also that incredible feeling of progress each week. I've learned so much about discipline, routine and how powerful the mind can be when you commit to something. What stood out most to me is the sense of community through it all. Friends joining for runs, messages of encouragement and everyone cheering each other on. It's made the whole journey so meaningful. Now I honestly can't wait to get to the start line and take it all in, knowing how far this journey has come and running it for Ellen.
So we wish Rebecca the best of luck this weekend. And that's only one of, I'm sure everybody running has a story like that or know somebody who has a story like that. So I'm going to read this comment out that we, or a WhatsApp out that we got from Adam, and I'm going to do my best not to cry because he worded it very eloquently. So Adam on WhatsApp said, "I'm running the Dublin Marathon for the first time this Sunday in aid of the Irish Cancer Society. I'm running the marathon for a few reasons. The main one is that my football manager was recently diagnosed for the second time with cancer. She is an absolute role model to me, and I often consider her a second mother that I have in my life. I have another close relative that was diagnosed with breast cancer and recovered, and a very close family member of my partner was also diagnosed with cancer and is still fighting her battle. My football manager said to our football team in our last football game that while she is fighting her own battle, she wants us to fight our own for her. Since underage, she has always pushed for me to succeed. I'm doing the marathon for them, fighting my own battle and racing this marathon in aid of an amazing charity which provides outstanding support to those that are currently affected and have been affected by cancer. When I'm at the highest of highs and the lowest of lows on Sunday, I will think of Michaela, Denise and Jennifer. I'll remember who I'm doing it for, and if they are going to fight and have fought, then I'm going to do the exact same thing for them.
Absolute goosebumps. Like, seriously.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, so if you're going out supporting the marathon this weekend and you're looking at people maybe hitting a wall a couple of kilometres towards the end line, you just know, I suppose, when people ask like what your why is,
yeah.
So many people going out there this weekend are going to have their own personal reasons for it, or like a wider group themselves that are doing for something. So just best of luck, everyone.
I know it's, I hope one day that I'd be able to do a marathon. I just think it's, as you said, Rachel, just emotional just watching them. So I think that's a lovely note to end on, and we'll get on to our word in the studio in just one second. But I do want to bring a comment that we had from our very own Willa Callahan, which I think reflects very well on my behaviour throughout this podcast. We asked, why do people run marathons? And he goes, so they can tell people they're running it. Yes, Will, that's exactly what I was doing.
So cynical, Will.
It's very cynical, but yeah. In my case, quite true.
I think that contrasts, though, with the kind of message we read before from Adam, in that, yes, people like to talk the talk about how much they've run, but there is a whole element behind it that I think people don't often think about. Like, I wouldn't have thought about that at all before I came into this pod, that like a lot of the people running are running it for something greater than themselves and greater than Strava and greater than trying to hit a time. And I think that's just something that people need to keep in mind, especially when watching, like you said, Rachel.
Yeah, it's easy to be reminded of when you're watching as opposed to seeing it on TikTok and Instagram, because you often see like groups of people running with the same t-shirts, like representing the charity that they're running for. So it's easier to get a sense of it in person, I suppose, rather than online.
Yeah, I feel like I love how they can coexist. You have this big emotional push for various charities, for, you know, your family situation, and you can also then brag about it. I love just the different people it brings together and the different communities it brings together and the atmosphere at the marathon. Just incredible. So I suppose my word in the studio is very simple, which is best of luck to everybody who's running the Dublin Marathon this coming weekend.
Yeah, and mine would be, maybe I will join a run club this winter, perhaps. Don't want to commit to it too much. I'll go to a run club in the month of November. There we go.
Nice.
And best of luck, everyone.
My word in the studio, yeah, run slower. Get out of your head. Care less about pace and run to enjoy it, I suppose. And also good luck. Echoing you two.
Lovely. All right. So that was our word on the street for this week. We'll be back very shortly. Have a good weekend.
Go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah,
I believe in Mike Hankey, and I suppose they're good at football, they just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12, I love playing 10, I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
Oh, no. Thank you for all the supporters, thank you for the team, thank you France. Merci la France, merci les baguettes, merci les croissants. Je vous aime, I love you. Hey!